Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debiru. Welcome back to Chop Talk. This is your host, Nate England. We're still a few ratings short of showing up on the iTunes rankings. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Today is the second half of my interview with the director of Authentic Ancient Arts in Waukesha, Wisconsin, Kyoshi Neil Stoltzmark. Mr. Stoltzmark has traveled extensively to study, demonstrate, compete, and teach the martial arts throughout the U.S., Canada, Europe, Australia, Japan, South Africa, and Okinawa. Mr. Stoltzmark currently holds the rank of 8th Dan in Shorin-Ryu Shorin-Kan Karate and is a student of Shigeru Nakazato. He is also a practitioner of Matryoshi Kabuto and the president of the Okinawa Kabuto Doshi Rinsei Kai, and has been appointed as the successor of his teacher Sensei Yoshiaki Gakia. At the beginning of the show, Mr. Stoltzmark talks about his two upcoming seminars, the Kabuto Friendship Gashku in October and the Warrior Gashku in June of next year. He then talks about the history of Shorin-Ryu Shorin-Kan Karate and how different branches of Shorin-Ryu in Okinawa developed from the teachings of Chosin Shibana. We also discuss the history of weapons arts in Okinawa, specifically Matryoshi Kabuto and his teacher Yoshiaki Gakia. Afterwards, we compare notes on the different village martial arts, which you can still see in festivals around rural Okinawa. We wrap up the show by talking about World War II's lasting effects on the island. Mr. Stoltzmark will be holding the 5th Annual Kabuto Friendship Gashku Seminar in Milwaukee, Wisconsin from October 17th to 19th. That's just a few weeks away. And from June 11th to 14th of 2015, Mr. Stoltzmark will hold his annual Warrior Gashku Seminar, where he will be hosting the head of the Shorin-Ryu Shorin-Kan style of karate all the way from Okinawa, Japan, 10th Dan Minoru Nakazato. For those of you interested in learning more about Mr. Stoltzmark and his dojo, or to register for the seminars, you can visit www.authenticancientarts.com. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show. So, you've had a couple big seminars you put on every year. One's a big Kabuto seminar, a big camp, I've been to that. And you have another one, one of those is coming up in the next month or so, right? And
October 17th weekend, October 17th, 18th, 19th, we do, it's what's called the Kobuto Friendship, Kobuto Training and Friendship Gashku.
Okay.
So it's just all Kobuto, all weekend, do kata application, have a lot of fun. Started out here in the dojo 5 years ago, and then I did it the second year here in the dojo, and it got too big for the dojo, so we went to a hotel, and we've been there, so it'll be our third year in a hotel now, and it looks like it's going to be the biggest one ever this year, so by the pre-registration, so. So that's good. And then this June, I've got my annual, what I call the Warrior Gashku, and that's karate and kobudo. And this year, I'm bringing Nakazato Minoru Sensei.
Wow, the head of the style, right?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Big, exciting, but you got to be nervous also to bring the top guy in.
Yeah, just hopefully it works out where I don't have to sell something to...
like a kidney?
Yeah, something like that, or give an arm up or something.
Yeah. Well, there's the Shorin-Ryu Shorin-Kan in the U.S. is huge. Mm-hmm. Even around the Midwest, I know you have Eddie Bethea, Mr. Perry. He's in the Carolinas. Mm-hmm. I want to say
North Carolina.
North Carolina, and it's huge. Yeah. All over the U.S.
Yeah, big time in Virginia. You know that area. East Coast has the most, and then there's a lot on the West Coast. There's a lot of couple different places in California.
Was that because? That's, I know the original school was near the bases. It was
Nakazawa's original school was somewhere around a lot of the military bases, and there were a lot of the military guys who worked. I believe Mr. Perry was a military guy. Maybe he started there, and Mr. Bethea was also.
Yeah.
Is that really how it got started and spread? It
spread to America? Well, Sensei Yamashita, you know, was started with Sensei Nakazato in 1953, and in 1964, when he was 24 years old, he came to America in 1964. So he's been here teaching in America 50 years now. But at any rate, he was quite famous. Became quite famous about 6 years later, you know, and he got into the movies and TV shows and things like that. Mm. But the servicemen, the original servicemen, Frank Hargrove, Eddie Bethea, Sid Campbell, Noel Smith, and Robert Curtin, all trained with Sensei Nakazato, and when they came here, pretty much they spread it. They called them the Magnificent Seven, actually. It was adding Tadashi Yamashita and Jiro Shiroma, and they got seven guys. So Frank Hargrove was the president of the association for a long time, so he was very instrumental in establishing all kinds of dojos on the East Coast. The West Coast, Sid Campbell and Tadashi Yamashita had... Yamashita was here in the Midwest for 5 years, in Indiana, and then that's how he got up to Wisconsin and Michigan, because he was close enough, so they brought him in for seminars, and then everyone turned over and became his student.
Yamashita was the teacher of your first instructor, is that right?
Right, okay. And then later on, when my instructor kind of bowed out of it, turned me over with him, so he became my instructor.
Okay.
So he was my immediate instructor for about 15 years. And then, basically those seven guys, really got Shorin Ryu established here. You know, Sensei Yamashita was never Shorin Kan. He was had his own association.
Okay.
When he came in 64, there was no such thing as karate studios in America. That there was no business ideas. No one knew it was going to spread crazy.
Right.
You know, he just came here as a motorcycle mechanic, and his skill got discovered at a tournament, and it went from there. But he didn't come here as a representative of the Shorin Kan. He came here to make a living. And just found out his karate things. Well, he started his own karate association, and that's why some people, you know, there's politics and all that other stuff.
Sure.
But in reality, Nakazato was like his father. He raised him. Mm. So
if he came over in 64, I mean, the big ones in the U.S. would have been the USKA, you know, Grandmaster Trias's group, and a handful of others that early on. I spoke with James McLean, who was with that early group, and he talked about just traveling from one city to another, or one state to another, because there's some guy with a dojo over here that has a kata that nobody else knows, and you're going to hitchhike three states over to learn it. And that was really how it was spread at that time.
Yep, they used to call it dojo hopping. Dojo hopping, and they'd run kata together, but they'd also spar together, and that was real common. You know, I used to hear stories about that from some of the seniors, and it sounded real interesting. Like you said, sometimes they would drive 5 hours because that was the next closest dojo.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't as easy as today.
Wow.
You couldn't hop on YouTube or even hop on an airplane.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATAC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATAC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATAC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com.
So can you go back a little bit farther and talk about how the Shorin Ryu developed? I know that... So I worked out with Katsuya Miyahira's group in Okinawa. And so Miyahira and Nakazato had the same instructor. They both studied under Chibana.
Correct.
But at some point they split, and there were maybe a couple others that split off from Chibana.
Yeah.
Did they all have just a different take on what they learned, or was there falling out, or was...
I know somebody that was at Chibana's funeral, and they read that Sensei Nakazato was to be the successor of the system. And that lasted till after the funeral was over. It went in five directions at that point.
Okay.
Miyuhira Nakazato, Nakama.
Okay.
Two other guys, Higa and Arakaki.
Okay.
Can't believe I got all five. And of those, I think Miyuhira's group is still going under Iha Sensei.
Right.
Higa's group is probably still going, I'm guessing, even though he passed away. And Arakaki, I know nothing about, and I know nothing about the Nakama guy. Mm. I think that's his name. It's something like that. Mm. But he actually got Kiya Sensei, my Kobudo teacher, trained Shorinru with him when he was a kid.
Okay.
Yeah, and he said he was good, and then his son took over, and he said his son was mean, so he stopped going. yeah. But anyway, from Chibana, modern day Shorinru.
Sure.
Definitely.
That's sort of the turning point, it seems to be, for the Shorinru groups.
Kobayashi.
Going back to Chibana.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and Nagamine Sensei, you know, with...
Right.
Yeah, he was very instrumental, and that's a very large association.
Right. So. Yeah, of course, his son just passed away last year, too. I mean, a lot of big karate guys have passed away in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've seen that Karate Masters Portrait Project.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Chris Wilson, yeah. And he's trying to get them all, you know, as many as he can before they do pass on.
Right.
And, you know, he got Gibu Sensei right before he passed away. That was a shocker. He was a young man, 72.
Wow.
71, something like that.
Especially Okinawans. You see these guys. You know, I remember, you know, seeing these, walking around Okinawa and seeing these, like, 130, 140-year-old women, like, pushing this wheelbarrow full of vegetables bent over to 90 degree angle, going to the market to sell them.
Yeah.
And everyone's still active. The old folks are active. So 72 is real young.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the Okinawans.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was a shocker. You know, he had just visited America down by John Spence, his student, his representative here in the States, and a good friend of mine, and went home, and man, I don't think it was 3 weeks or to a month later, maybe not even that long, and he got the bad news.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show.
Now, how about the Kabuto styles? So, in Okinawa, there's, what, about five major Kabuto styles. The Mariyoshi is the one.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot more styles are popping up now.
Mm-hmm.
Really, there's two majors. There's the Rukyu Kobudo and the Okinawa Kobudo.
Okay.
Okay, the Okinawa Kobudo is the Matayoshi lineage.
Mm-hmm.
The Rukyu Kobudo is the Taira Shinken people.
Okay.
Okay, and then there's a lot of karate Kobudo, a lot of dojo Kobudo,
okay,
that people learn from different guys and whatever. I mean, most dojos over there, karate dojos, they'll have one or two Bokatas, a Saikata, a Tumfukata.
Mm-hmm.
But they're standalone Kobudo systems. I think, you know, there's probably, you know, they call Yamani Ru now,
mm-hmm.
But I think that's fairly recent because they were known for a strong bow tradition, but they weren't really a style. Mm-hmm. Then I met another guy, though, who told me that there are about 160 Kobudo styles on Okinawa.
Okay.
Yeah, this old Okinawan guy that I ran into, got to train with him. He does this really wild stuff called Maida bow, Maida Kobudo.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's crazy. It has to do with chasing guys out of the field.
Okay.
Trying to steal your rice. So the bow is flung around like nunchucks.
Huh.
It's the coolest thing. So, and he's very knowledgeable. He's going to be writing a book soon. But he was telling me there's 160 different styles of Kobudo.
Wow.
Okinawa. Yeah, he says a lot of them, they just won't teach you. They won't show you.
There's just a handful of people working on some dojo, yeah. And they're not...
Well, he works out at night in his yard. Hmm. Next to his garden shack with lights. You know, and he kept it secret for until the last decade or two. Hmm.
You know, when you look at the Kobudo names, a lot of the names of the katas are names of cities or islands or things that are farther out, that are a little more rural, as opposed to a lot of karate names are maybe named after a Chinese person who came over and taught, like Kusanku, Wangshu, something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, was it that the Kobudo was much more rural and these people are going out and picking one, this guy visited this island and learned their tonfakata and then came back?
Yeah, I think that that's really accurate, because they always talk about village kata. Mm. And people would hear about this village kata, and there'd be some old master that lived there, and they'd go there. As a matter of fact, I know firsthand, Yogi Sensei and another guy, Miyashiro, they heard about this guy that taught this kata called Ufutunbo. And he was supposedly dying, and they went, Matayoshi commissioned them to go learn it. Mm. And they did, and they brought it back to the dojo, and they kind of customized it to the Matayoshi way of doing things, but that's where that kata came from. And I guess that was quite common. And a lot of the village katas have disappeared, mm-hmm. because they did not get passed on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was family only.
Right.
And if the family stopped, or there wasn't a boy, or the boy wasn't interested, or whatever, mm-hmm. bye-bye. Mm-hmm. You know.
Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA, PubPalUSA.
One of them that I saw was there's a Nakamura sensei, and mm-hmm. he was a Shorinryu teacher, and he would always come to Miyahiro's dojo to work out, but okay. He had his own dojo also in Kochinda, which is a city sort of in south central Okinawa. Okay. I went and visited him, and he had part of that village style. They had a Kochinda bow. And they had two or three bow katas and an aku kata, and they said, this is for this village only.
Yeah.
And now he did other types of kabuto. I believe he did some Matayoshi kabuto elsewhere, but he had that village tradition. Hmm. I've also wondered if that's what you see at the festivals. So a lot of times when you see the festivals, the guys are in the parades and they're doing this bow kata.
Yep.
Now they're not necessarily doing it like you would with the bunkai in mind and mm-hmm. smacking the guy and moving around real fast, but they're going through the motions. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's a way that's been passed down.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Gakia Sensei told me up in Nago, they have a festival every year with a parade. And he says, you'll see so many different bow katas, he said. Hmm. You know, they're like bow and dance, mm-hmm. you know, and he said, that's really interesting. Because I told him about this. Tamimoto Sensei. And I told him I went to talk with him, and he told me about all these different styles, and he says, oh yeah, there's a lot more out there than what you think, you know. So
wow.
But
there's a whole other project, somebody to document all the village bow styles before they disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Even like the Saikata, Shinmaru no Sai in the Matayoshi lineage curriculum. Shinmaru no Sai is the village where Shinko Matayoshi lived. So that's okay. That village kata.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's where that one came from.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very interesting.
It's no longer there. It's now Air Force Base. Just like a Necrotic Kid.
That movie's pretty
based
accurate.
It is.
I've always wondered about that because, I watched it before I was ever in the martial arts.
Okay.
And, oh, this is really cool. And then you watch it after and you start to pick stuff out.
Yeah.
It's like somebody, I don't know who studied something or who knew something or the guy who wrote it.
Right.
But there's some pretty good accurate stuff.
There is some, definitely.
Now Okinawa doesn't really look like it does in Karate Kid 2 anymore.
Why?
It's a little bit more urbanized.
A little bit.
You know, and when I first went there, I was almost expecting that. Little huts and villages.
Yeah.
And you go to Naha and it's, you know, concrete and it's modern and it's lit up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I the guys that I went to, a guy named Tino Cibriano, he's from Australia. I met him when I was there, and then we hooked up in 92 in Okinawa. And he hadn't been back there since the 60s.
Mm.
And he says, last time I was here, it was, like you said, little old ladies pushing carts, boxes, down dirt streets, and grass huts. He says, I can't believe it. You know, what, 30 years, how it changed.
Mm.
So, 25 years, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
When did you go there for the first time, to Okinawa?
90. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was a monorail up at that point?
No.
Okay.
No, I when did that start going up? I remember, I think they wanted to have it by the World Championships. Did they get it done by then? I don't remember. It was the early 90s. Mm-hmm. But no, it wasn't done yet.
Did you go to the World Championships? Or have you gone to that?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I didn't compete, but actually I was there. We were supposed to do a demonstration for Matayoshi Sensei's mm-hmm. dojo, and he was in the hospital, and actually he passed away when I got home 3 days later.
Oh, wow.
I saw him in the hospital 2 days before he passed away, and he was joking, having fun, flirting with the nurses. Well, that was quite a shock, actually.
Yeah. Was it sudden? Was he? What was it that he?
It was. He had a form of leukemia.
Oh wow.
But he was not. He was not expected to die. Hmm. He should have been in a different hospital. He was, the hospital I went to, that thing was like a MASH unit.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think they realized the severity of his condition at that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? And share it with a friend, family member, coworker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.
Speaking of MASH units, while I was living over there, they were working on the road, and someone hit one of the big 500-pound undetonated bombs with a backhoe.
Wow.
Right in front of the old folks' home.
Really?
Blew up. I don't know how the guy in the tractor wasn't killed. This thing was just mangled.
No kidding.
Blew out. All the windows for the old folks' home were blown in. All the old folks were in the lunchroom. If the timing had been off by 15 minutes one way, 45 minutes another, you would have had hundreds of people that would have been really injured or dead.
Wow. Was it buried?
Yeah, it was buried. It just, I don't know if it landed or didn't go, but anyway, it was a dud, but when that guy hit it with the backhoe,
boom.
Wow. It went.
When was that?
That probably would have been in 2006 or 7. So you can still see parts of the war around. They were working on a new road near the mall, the Main Place Mall, which is mm-hmm. sort of in the center
yeah.
of Naha.
Yeah, I stay at that hotel across the street nowadays.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're working on the road that's going there, and they found a dead soldier, like off in the jungle that I guess they had missed or he had got buried. So it's amazing how much the World War II has still affected the people there.
Yeah. Well, the generation is, starting to disappear now, but there's still quite a few people that were that are walking around that still remember that war.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sitting down with me, and thanks for letting me stop by.
Sure. I tell you what, I didn't realize what was going on tonight. I didn't know that he had been called to take your class, so I didn't want to step on his toes.
Hey, yeah. That's okay. I'm just happy to stop by and work out.
Well, I'm glad to have you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all from our interview with Kyoshi Neil Stoltzmark. Thanks to Mr. Stoltzmark and everyone at his dojo for their hospitality during my short visit and for taking the time to sit down and share some of his insights with us. If you want to find out more about Mr. Stoltzmark or register for his upcoming seminars, be sure to visit www.authenticancientarts.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Nihedibiru and Mataya.